Sorry.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this special edition of the 40 Scenes Fire American Soccer Show. The USA gets basically lambasted, and part of it is their own doing as they fall to Venezuela by a final of 3-0. Phone lines are open, 646-929-1823, if you wish to sound off, if you want to vent on what's going on. Well, I can tell you what's going on. It's really plain and simple. Greg Berhalter so far either does not have the players to have his system go out there and perform against the Venezuela, or maybe he shouldn't even bother trying to build from the back, because right now what we are watching from this men's national team is a situation where these players are either, not doing good enough, or maybe it's the system that's not working. And, everyone's asking the questions about Josh Sargent. Why is he not on this roster? Why is he not in the Gold Cup if you did not want him to play for the under-20s? But at the same time, now there's talk about him maybe not being on the Olympic qualifying roster. I just find that ridiculous. And then what's the point of having him in that friendly against Jamaica if you're not going to use him on the main roster? What is going on here? Why? Because of an injury to Sebastian Leggett and, that had to change his plans? Or maybe you show some initiative and, say, to damn with the cover that I needed, I put him out there. I mean, the kid playing in the Bundesliga for Werder Bremen, I mean, what's going on? Why are we seeing these players now all of a sudden just not paying attention to what is in front of them? And, I am not going to challenge, Greg Berhalter too much, of course, with to talk about former Columbus Crew players. Zardoz, I think, is pretty good. I think he deserves to be on the national team. Zach Steffen now, in 2 straight matches, has given up gifts to the opposition. What is Zach Steffen doing all of a sudden? Why is Zach Steffen coughing up the ball the way he is? Why has Zach Steffen all of a sudden now just not playing to his potential? Why? I just don't understand how Zach Steffen has now looked ordinary as a goalkeeper. I mean, I said to myself, well, he looks good enough to be the future of the men's national team. He still could be the future of the men's national team, but right now, it's not so much the question of, his positioning, on the international stage. It's not so much where or how he's going to make saves. It's not about this. It's not about that. What's it about? It's about decision-making as well. Goalkeepers have to have better decision-making than what Zach Steffen showed in this match. Zach Steffen's decision-making has now costed the U.S. men's national team a goal. He didn't get scored on against Jamaica, which would have been 2-0, but still, though, what we saw in the first half of this match against Venezuela was just absolutely criminal. Absolutely criminal. And let me just say this. The start to the match was very, very damn good. You saw what veterans can do. You saw what veterans can do here, the veterans can do there, and all the wonderful things that that a veteran side can go out there. Now, if you get beat, you get beaten, that's fine. But when you're looking terrible and you're making the simplest mistakes that you should not be making, there are going to be questions. There will be questions. In fact, I think we're already questioning the situation. Why did Matt Miazga leave his position to concede that space and allow Venezuela, especially Real Salt Lake's Severino, you know, to allow him to get to that space, hits the ball off the post, the back post, gets his own rebound, and tucks it home. Rondon, you know, Roncon, you know, all I can say is that's a man who is just super talented. Plays for Newcastle, I understand. You know, he's such a super talented person, super talented player. And all I can say is that, you know, he was a handful on the third goal. I can't give him credit for the first goal because that goal was handed to him on a silver platter by Zach Steffen. Zach Steffen right now is just, you know, terrible at decision making. He was never like this in club play. Now, obviously, it's a different thing. You're comparing club form to international form. So then, you know, what's going on with that? What in the hell is going on with this U.S. men's national team now? Is Greg Berhalter the right man to lead the U.S. men's national team in this Gold Cup? And just don't worry about this Gold Cup. World Cup qualifying. World Cup qualifying. That is the next stage after the Gold Cup this coming week or two that's going to be starting very soon. Very soon. It's going to be starting this coming Saturday, and the U.S. Women's National Team has at least a week and 2 days, a week and a day, to get ready for Guyana. Throw out the Guyana game. That's not the worry. Guyana is not the type of opponent the U.S. Men's National Team has to worry unless they turn it into a match you have to worry. Because we all know Guyana as a, a proud island in the Caribbean, no question about it. The talent level is obviously not as high against the U.S. Men's National Team. But if the U.S. Men's National Team makes simple mistakes against Guyana, then you really have to worry about what's going to happen against Trinidad and Tobago as well as Panama in the group stage. Because as of right now, the Guyana match is nothing to worry about. Those other two group games are what you have to worry about. What is going on here? Why? Why are these little simple mistakes being made for no reason whatsoever? This, my friends, is just an absolute terrible match. Terrible match that the men's national team has played. And the truth is, Greg Berhalter squandered two friendlies. Squandered two friendlies. The first one he squandered because why? Because Josh Sargent did not get a spot on the 23-man roster, which he should have. And number two, you wasted a big opportunity to have this roster gets wasted, absolutely wasted for the friendly against Venezuela. It should have done better with this. It should have been done better with this. But no, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because why? Because you got a tinker for no reason when you should have your complement of players ready to go. Both of these games against Jamaica and against Venezuela should have been just for the 23 players you're going to pick for these two friendlies getting ready for the Gold Cup. But instead, you still had to tinker more. No, the January camp, which you weren't there, was the correct thing to do. The March friendlies, which you started in, that was the correct thing to do. Now, you got to implement both senior players and upcoming players who you think are going to become something special for the national team. You should have used those players for these two friendlies. But instead, you squandered the match against Jamaica and D.C., and now absolutely a poor display in this one by those supposed players. I understand no Christian Pulisic. I understand no Tyler Adams. You know, they're just both coming in. Tyler Adams, of course, spending time with the New York Red Bulls at their training facility in Hanover, you know, just to get some training sessions going before you go in for the big Gold Cup tournament and everything. I understand that. I understand there's no Pulisic, but there should be at least enough bodies in there to understand what needs to happen. Do we have the right players to build from the back through Greg Berhalter's system, or is Greg Berhalter's system not good enough for the international game? That is the bigger question right there. And until we get answers for that, right at this particular moment in time, it doesn't look like the U.S. men's national team is going to be doing anything special here. They could be, if not three and out, they could be, done after a possible three-point win over Guyana. This is a disgrace. This is just a complete disgrace of a performance from the national team. Simple mistakes should not have been made, but they did. And the third goal, Aaron Long, give him some credit. He tracked back. He tried to defend well. He tried to make sure that Rondon did not get an opportunity on goal to make it 3-0. Unfortunately, he's that good of a player to do it. And I want to say something else here. And I know I said this on Twitter while I was tweeting the match. I want to say something right here. I don't care if Venezuela did not qualify for a World Cup. That doesn't mean anything anymore. That phrase does not hold water anymore. Does not. When you have a country like Venezuela that has to day in, day out, face tougher, stiffer competition in South America, CONMEBOL, you have Venezuela facing the likes of Argentina, Brazil, Colombia, Uruguay, Chile, Paraguay, Ecuador, Bolivia. You have to face not just tough terrain, not just tough altitude conditions, but you're talking about these nations that develop players for breakfast, lunch, and dinner to feed them, and even a midnight snack. Do you understand? It's a situation where you cannot allow these players to assume, just because Venezuela did not qualify for a World Cup, just because they did not qualify for a World Cup, that does not mean that they cannot, assume that it's going to be a cakewalk. You got to show respect to your opponents. You have to show respect to your opponents, and you have to go out there, and you have to perform at your highest level. Stu Holden is incorrect. Stu Holden is wrong. CONMEBOL is a competitive confederation with only 10 nations. Technically, it's 12, but they threw the two out because even though they're part of South America, they decided to become a part of CONCACAF. This is what you have to watch. This is what you have to digest. This is what you have to do to just learn. Learn. You cannot assume that you're going to go out there and destroy this opponent. They have players too. And I understand Venezuela is also a baseball nation. I understand Venezuela is a baseball nation. But the truth is this. Their players are pretty damn good. They're pretty damn good, and they're going to find a way to go. They're going to find a way to go and beat you. And that's what they did. That's what they did. They went out there, and they beat them handedly. Sure, they hit. Zach Steffen handed a ball and a goal on a silver platter to Rondon. But outside of that, absolutely terrible. Absolutely unforgivable. And it was just absolutely atrocious what we watched out there today. The Gold Cup means something because you're supposed to be the top nation in your confederation. Outside of the U.S. and Mexico, now you have Costa Rica, Panama improving themselves, Jamaica also trying to improve themselves. And where's the U.S.? Where is the U.S. now? Are they on a decline? You hope that's not the case. But if they are, then who is to blame for this if they are on a decline? What about that coaching search? What is Ernie Stewart doing as general manager of the U.S. men's national team? Ernie Stewart, is he truly a general manager? Or is he just a figurehead for the hell of it? I mean, look, I don't want to pick on Ernie Stewart. I really don't, because I really believe that Ernie Stewart's doing a service for the national team and for U.S. soccer. But what position is U.S. soccer putting him in to succeed? Where? How? How are they allowing him to succeed? Because if they're not allowing Ernie Stewart to succeed, if they're not allowing Ernie Stewart to do anything, then what's the point of him being a part of this? What's the point? Is there a point? Do we have a point? Are we wasting time? Is Ernie Stewart's time being wasted? What is going on? What is going on? Seriously. How in the hell can we have our national team, performing, finding the right Americans that are not only playing in Europe, doing well with the youth national teams, with their club teams, in MLS, even in South America, if there are players in South America, playing for these big-time clubs in South America. Do we have these people here? Are there real players getting an opportunity? Josh Sargent is supposed to be one of those players getting that opportunity. Is it a fair opportunity? Is it? Because I don't think it is right now. Because right now, he was told not to go to the under-20s. That means, okay, maybe goes to the Gold Cup. Sorry about that, folks. Let me get back on here real quick. Got some work done in the office here, so that's why I'm on my smartphone. But the point is this. The point is simply put, what is going on here? What is the situation? If Josh Sargent is not going to be on the Under-20 World Cup, which, of course, it's all over now because he got eliminated by Ecuador in the quarterfinals. He's not on the Gold Cup roster. Okay, well, is he going to be on the Olympic roster for the qualifying? Well, if he's not going to be on the Olympic roster for qualifying, then what's the point of him getting that friendly shot? What was the point? So what if Ledgett's hurt? So what if he's not going to be making it for the Gold Cup? So what? Give him a shot. Put him in. Put in Sargent, for God's sakes. Let him do what he can do. We know what he can do. He's a damn good young striker. I mean, what's the point here if you're going to have these friendlies, these warm-up matches before a big tournament? Yeah, I know. Gold Cup's not as big as Copa America or the European Championship Cup. I'm not counting the UEFA Nations League Championship because that's something different. But the truth is, the European Cup, Copa America, those two are the biggest confederational title tournaments outside of the Gold Cup. Gold Cup is just there for the heck of it. That needs to be improving and needs to get better, which at the moment, it's on its way to improve. But still, though, why? Why are we not seeing these players getting a real shot? Unless Sargent said something or did something to, make Berhalter upset. I don't know. I really don't know. We're never going to know. But one thing is for sure. Greg Berhalter right now, two losses in two friendlies that in reality one should never have been, seeing who's going to make the final 23-man roster. And two, which, of course, I mean, they already said that, it was already put out there. And two, what's going on with some of these players that are on his 23-man roster? Are they compatible enough to play his system? Because as of right now, I don't think there is any compatibility. And at the same time, mentality-wise, there's no communication. Christian Roldan, Jordan Morris, they play for the Seattle Sounders. They both play for the same team. They should know where they are. They should know where each other is at. And they collide, and they can't even put an easy looping ball into the back of the net. So what does that mean? Simply put, it means that you got two guys that are miscommunicating with each other on the U.S. men's national team because of the pressure being down by three. Because you are chasing the game. And what are you going to do before and after the Ghana match? The Guyana match, excuse me. I just find it ridiculous that we have these players and we have this situation by U.S. soccer. What is going to happen? What are we going to be doing here? I just find it difficult to see any improvement of this national team unless Greg Berhalter either scraps his tactics and goes traditional 4-4-2, or everything's going to be sinking very fast. Then the other question is this. Outside of his brother, Jay, who within U.S. soccer has the stones to tell Greg Berhalter you're going to be relieved of your duties if it does not go the way you think it should? I don't know why Tab Ramos was not given an opportunity to interview for the senior side national team job. I don't understand why Peter Vermees was not interviewed or Jesse Marsh was not interviewed or other people giving an opportunity to be interviewed. Why were they not interviewed? U.S. Soccer will say, well, we went through a very hard processing search. Well, what search was it? Hi, Greg. You're our search. You're hired. We'll just, delay the inevitable. A manager from Spain said he wants to be the new head coach of the U.S. men's national team. Nope, that's okay. You're too late. Was he too late, or you just didn't want him? Have we made it? The big question is now, have we made it? I'll tell you how we've made it. We've made it by basically starting to fall apart, and now, the darts are getting ready to be thrown at. Next thing you know, they're going to resort to knives. Next thing you know, they're going to resort to other sharp objects and then things that go boom. U.S. soccer right now needs to find ways, along with Greg Berhalter, they have to find ways to wake up and fix this problem. This is a serious problem right now. And if we're not going to have it fixed, we're going to reverse all the positive stuff that we have done since the 1990 World Cup. Because if this program does not qualify for Qatar, that would be two straight World Cups that we have not qualified for. And that, my friends, is going to be a very, very difficult situation to get out of. Because then the scrutiny will get bigger and louder and even much more deafening. There is a problem right now, and that needs to be solved. that was just not so much you lose 3-0 to a team like Venezuela, but the way they lost it. Mistakes. Individual mistakes. What are you doing out there? Why? Why are you, Zach Steffen, begging for Weston McKennie to move in so you can pass the ball to him? Mr. McKennie does not have to come all the way in to take your pass. You just boot it out. Either walk with the ball or jog with the ball to a safer section of your 6-yard box, or you boot it right there down the field. You just gave away a goal on a silver platter, and you found a way to give a lead that Venezuela will take very easily. Now, obviously, some are saying, well, that should have been offside. Fine. There's no VAR in these friendlies. There's no VAR in every single competition of Worlds, regardless of him being offside. They're never going to call it.